Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can send comments through the website, plus there is also a Facebook group, which is called Catholic Sports Radio Community. There are listeners of this show in that group, as well as some former guests. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Please help me spread the word about this show and tell others who would enjoy and benefit from listening about Catholic Sports Radio. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. During Sunday Mass recently, it dawned on me how there is yet another example of how sports mirrors our faith, or maybe you could say vice versa. In the context of team sports, we can point to the concept of teamwork. Plus, we hear about activities that are put together, likely by the coach, to allow for team bonding. Heck, right here on Catholic Sports Radio, we've heard guests talk about athletes getting together for a team Bible study. And then, of course, you think of groups, such as the starting five in basketball, or maybe the batting order in baseball. And in the Catholic faith, there are so many signs of a group coming together. In Mark chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "He summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two." Matthew 18, verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." During Mass, the priest will say, "In unity with the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever." Friends, there is strength in numbers. Let us support one another in our faith walk, and let us lean on the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we strive for the finish line that is spending eternity in heaven. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is an orthopedic surgeon who sees a lot of athletes. She is an avid runner, not only having ran track in high school and college, but she has done 3 Ironman races and approximately 20 marathons. In her college days, she was also a student athletic trainer at Notre Dame. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dr. Rosemary Buckle.
Good morning, Bruce. Good morning, everybody. How are you today?
Great, great. Thank you, Rosemary. Glad to have you on the show. I appreciate you making the time.
Thank you for having me. I very much appreciate it.
Rosemary, well, there have certainly been converts to Catholic faith on the show. You definitely go in the cradle Catholic column. Share with the audience about your family growing up and the faith component.
I was born. I was the second born child. I have 3 brothers in my family, to a Catholic family where our Catholic faith was very important, sort of center in our life. We went to Mass every Sunday without fail. We attended Sunday school from a very young age all the way through high school. We ate dinner together and prayed before dinner every single day as a family. And so the Catholic faith was front and center in our life.
And you're based in Houston, Texas right now. Is that where you grew up or no?
Yes, I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. Went away to go to college at Notre Dame. Went away to do a portion of my residency in Denver, and then came back to Houston where I practice medicine.
Ah, okay, okay. Well, in particular, just sticking with the family life that you described when you were young, you cite your mother as a strong Catholic. Share with the audience about her dedication to the faith and also about what you did to help her for Christmas, faith-wise.
Yes, my mother is a very, very strong Catholic. She has a very strong faith. She grew up in Houston as well. She went to a Catholic high school, Incarnate Word, where her Catholicism, I think, was deepened even more than from her parents. She is a sacristan at our church for a very long time, and going to Mass daily is a very important part of my mother's life. From as long as I can remember, she's gone to Mass every single day. She goes out of town. She finds a Catholic church and goes to Mass.
Mm.
And during this pandemic, it's been very difficult because our church, obviously, as many churches, completely closed for a while. And, you know, Mass was virtual, and she could not partake in the body of Christ. And that, I think that has had a profound impact on her. And so I decided for Christmas that I would try to find a priest who could come to her home, to my parents' home, and say Mass there for a very small group. There were just eight of us there. And fortunately, one of the Jesuit priests in town who doesn't have a parish was able to do that. And I think that was the highlight of my parents' Christmas Day.
Mm.
And even my brother, I have a brother who is also very strong Catholic. He has a Catholic counseling service in Houston that's a not-for-profit, and he said that was the best Christmas present that he received.
Mm, fantastic.
Yeah, and I'm very grateful for the priest to come to do that, because he didn't have to do it, but he so willingly said, absolutely, I would love to come do that. It was a very intimate moment at our home.
It sure sounds like it. It sure sounds like it, and something that I'm sure meant more to your mother than anything that you could have purchased online or at a store, for sure. And before we get away from her, I do want you to share with the audience about your mother's favorite teacher, because you mentioned that she had attended a Catholic high school.
She did. She attended this Catholic high school, and she had a teacher named Sister Perpetua. And so now it's sort of our family thing that if you lose something, you can't find your keys or you can't find a credit card or something you've misplaced, we always pray to Sister Perpetua. And I mean, a lot of people pray to St. Anthony, but we pray to Sister Perpetua. And darn near every single time, Sister Perpetua will help you find what you have lost. So her memory lives on and on and on through our family.
That's great. That's great.
Yes.
I mentioned in the intro that in high school, track was your sport. Can you talk about how you chose that as your sport and then kind of go into the success that you had as it relates to the opportunity to take it to the collegiate level?
Right. So I began running in middle school.
Wow.
And I'm not sure what propelled me initially, but I enjoyed running. And when I got to high school, I ran the hurdles primarily. I loved that race. Nobody else wanted to do it. And so I wanted to do it. My father was my biggest champion. I mean, he was out there with a stopwatch every day, every afternoon, on the weekends. He would ride his bike while I would run. And so from there, I had the opportunity when it was time to pick a college. I really kind of only applied to Rice University here in Houston and to Notre Dame. And I had an opportunity to run at Rice and went to Notre Dame. And they told me, we don't have a formal women's team yet. This was before Title IX. But that myself and a couple other girls, that we would be able to run. We would have a coach. We had a good coach. He was one of the guys that helped with the men's team. And then we traveled with the men's track team to the various races, various, you know, colleges or universities to run. And so it was a good opportunity. It was a good opportunity. You know, I'll forever be grateful for the opportunity to attend Notre Dame.
Yeah, you had told me prior to today that you consider choosing Notre Dame as having been the best decision in your life.
Yes, you know, it's a very difficult decision because I sort of had my heart set on going to Rice. And my mother, obviously, was the one that said, apply to Notre Dame, you need to apply to Notre Dame. And so we went up to Notre Dame, and I'll never forget going up there and meeting with somebody on the campus. And, you know, one of the gentlemen said to me, you don't seem like you're very excited about coming here. And I said, well, you know, I sort of have my heart already at Rice, but my mom is very strong Catholic. And he said, you know, you have to realize that Notre Dame is a special place. It's a different place. It's a place that everybody in the world knows what Notre Dame represents and stands for. And when that guy told me that, and I don't even remember who that was, it's somebody in the counseling academic office, right then and there I said, okay, I'm going to Notre Dame. And the school is special. The school is beautiful. You have a lot of beautiful campuses in the country. And everybody thinks their college is special, right? But for a Catholic, Notre Dame is a place where you can immerse yourself in your Catholic faith, and you don't have to apologize for it. You don't have to hide from it. You can be in a church, in a chapel, in a place of worship, in every single dorm on that campus. Everywhere you walk, you can stop and pray because there's something, whether it's a statue or the grotto, there's somebody at the grotto at 2 a.m, at 4 a.m. It's never empty. And there's just not another place where I really felt that comfortable with my Catholic faith.
Fantastic. And we can tell that by the passion and the answer that you gave. And in going back to the sports aspect, I'm going to contradict my own ministry moment now after having talked about strength in numbers, but something like running or even the swimming that's involved in doing an Ironman competition, you're competing alone, which would seem like a great opportunity to talk to God, yes?
Yes, I would say that for sure. Training for an Ironman is a very solitary thing. There's not a lot of people that want to do that training to begin with. So you have to find a niche of people if you can. But it's a race where you're by yourself once you start. And it's you against the clock, really, and the elements. I am not a swimmer. I remember vividly failing my swimming test at the University of Notre Dame. They make everybody take a swimming test as a freshman, and I failed it. So I had to take swimming while I was running. But I learned to sort of love. I have a love-hate relationship with the swim part of the Ironman, which to me is the hardest part. It's, over 2 miles. It's extremely solitary. You can't see anybody, talk to anybody. And so I would pray the rosary while I would swim. Mm. And it would occupy my mind. It would keep me going. And I would do that in practice, but mainly I would do it when I was actually at an event. And I can vividly remember the first one I did, which was in Arizona. It was kind of an out and back swim, and it was freezing cold. It was like 60 degrees in the water. And I said, I'm just going to pray the rosary, and before I know it, I will be done. Mm. And so that's how I use that in my sports.
Just beautiful. Just beautiful. Listeners, Rosemary had to endure something in her life that was tremendously emotional and certainly bigger than any sporting challenge. But before I have her talk about that, I do hope that you're listening regularly to Catholic Sports Radio, which would mean that you did hear last week's episode. I had mentioned on there that there had been 2 recent donors to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. Unfortunately, I don't have an update for you on the one who I said I was waiting to hear back from with regards to saying their name on the air or not for a public thanks. I didn't get a reply to my email thanking them for their contribution, which could also just imply that, like the other one I'd mentioned last week, perhaps they wish to remain anonymous. Also unfortunate is the fact that yet another new expense has come up that I can report to you, which is $56 and some change so that Catholic Sports Radio can have a presence at a limited attendance, socially distanced men's conference taking place next month here in the Tampa Bay area. I share these expenses publicly so you know why I ask each week for the audience to prayerfully consider a financial contribution to Catholic Sports Radio. This is my ministry, but I don't draw an income from it, so all the expenses have to come out of my pocket. And with no sponsors to help offset all those costs, it does pose a challenge, especially since I'm just a one-man operation taking this all on by myself, meaning not only recording these interviews, but writing for these episodes, doing the editing, booking the guests, plus all the promotional administrative work. It's been a while, but I think I mentioned at one point some time ago that it probably amounts to between 5 and 6 hours of work for each 30-minute episode. So if you like what I'm doing, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life and you see value in everything I put into this and deliver, I'd greatly appreciate your support. There is a convenient way to contribute, which is the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. It's easy and secure and allows you to contribute in whatever amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts and no minimum. Alternatively, as some others have done, you can instead get in touch with me through the contact section of the website and ask me for the mailing address to send a check to. Regardless of which method you use, I do truly appreciate everyone who contributes and will happily say your name on Catholic Sports Radio or give you a public thanks via social media. Or, of course, you can choose to keep it anonymous. I would greatly appreciate your prayerful consideration of a contribution to Catholic Sports Radio and helping me to continue on and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Rosemary, just before that break, I was starting to refer to something you went through that, in your words, rocked your faith and was the toughest challenge in your life. Share that story with the audience, if you don't mind.
Yes, Bruce. So as a Catholic, my whole life I've been a very strong believer in life, in the preservation of life. You know, for whatever it's worth, I'm a very staunch advocate for life, and I am against abortion. And so we had two children. We got pregnant with our third child, who incidentally was a girl, would be our first girl. And we found out midway through the pregnancy that she would either not make it to term, or if she did make it to term, that she would die soon after. And this was a very difficult thing for me. As a Catholic, it was difficult. I was sort of angry. I didn't understand. And as a medical professional, I became a non-believer. And so I did what most people do and went out and got lots of different opinions. And of course, everybody told me the same thing, my husband and I. And many of the doctors we talked to recommended terminating the pregnancy, which I struggled with because all these years I was a proponent against terminating a pregnancy. And now here I am faced with that very challenge. And so I took to prayer. I have a lot of friends that are priests in Houston, and I went and met with several of them. You know, this discussion about it, continuing the pregnancy affecting my life, and it could be a very bad thing for me. You know, I have two other children I'm raising, and they all told me the same thing, that if you terminate this pregnancy, this particular pregnancy, that God wasn't going to strike me down, and that, you know, I needed to think about my other children. It was a very difficult time. It was a daily struggle to get through the day during this time period. My physician, who's also a very strong Catholic, just told me you have to keep praying for courage and praying for peace. Pray for courage. He told me that every day, and so I did, and my husband and I did. We did go to a doctor to terminate the pregnancy, and I couldn't do it. I mean, I made this appointment. I went to the office. The nurse came in. They started talking to me about what they were going to do, and I'm like, I can't do it. I cannot do it. And so we didn't do it. And then I think it was God's gift or presence that the baby died that night. Mm. I mean, that evening I got an ultrasound, and they're like, well, your baby is not even alive anymore. And so I considered that a blessing because it was a huge relief that I didn't have to make a decision anymore. I mean, certainly it was sad because we lost our baby, our child, our only daughter. But that experience taught me a lot. It was probably the most difficult thing for me to get through, her funeral and burying her. But I go to the cemetery and I pray. I look at her and I look at the child that was born afterward. I have a 14-year-old who was born a year later, and I look at him as a gift from her and from God for that. And so I know that God doesn't ever give us something that we can't handle. He gives us the strength and the courage to get through very difficult things. And I think that this was something that I needed to go through. And I have helped minister to other women who've been in similar situations. And whereas before it was very painful and I was angry about it, now I'm able to look at it not as a blessing, but as something that really enriched my faith and has been an important part of my life. So,
well, God bless you for sharing that story with us. And I need the strength and the courage to continue. And I need to make a mental note to myself to keep some Kleenex near the microphone.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
When I record these, that's a tough one. I don't mind admitting I'm having a little trouble. Speaking of medical occurrences, in the lead up to today, you told me that you love being a doctor and surgeon. Can you expand on that?
I will. I do love being a physician. I love operating. I thank my parents for instilling the value of education, because education has gotten me to the point where I am. But I thank God for giving me the brain and the hands to be able to help people. And, you know, we often get lost in the busyness and the chaos of daily life. But every once in a while, maybe once a week, and maybe even not even once a week, a patient will look at me, they'll come in the office and they'll say, "Thank you for giving me my life back."
Mm.
And, you know, it would be easy for me to just say, "Oh, well, you know, you're welcome." But I walk out of the room sometimes when somebody says that. There was somebody that said that to me this week. They're like, "No, you don't understand. You changed my life." And so I really feel like that is why I do what I do. That is a feeling that is, you know, worth more than the dollars that you earn or the title that you have. You know, I love the idea that I can help somebody and change their life, even if it's a 75-year-old grandma that can now go hang out with her grandkids, or, you know, discovering something that somebody has seen five other doctors for and we figured out the problem. I just think that's a ministry, and I'm able to help other people. And I realize that I couldn't do it without the help from my parents, but more importantly, the blessing from God, because not everybody has the hands or the stick-to-itiveness. I have a lot of stick-to-itiveness, or the brains, and I know those are gifts from God. So that's why I love being a doctor.
Yeah, and thank you for the work that you're doing. I can join in line with those patients who thank you. I have had two open heart surgeries, and I remember that on the, I want to say, 10-year anniversary of my first open heart surgery, I wrote a letter to the surgeon that had done my first open heart surgery thanking him. And I always say that the Lord obviously has special plans for me, that he let me survive two open heart surgeries. And I always go out of my way when I'm in the hospitals, and I'm always thanking the nurses for the work that they do. So certainly what you're doing doesn't get lost, and I'm thrilled to hear that the patients are telling you the difference that you're making in their lives. I wonder, you know, as an orthopedic surgeon, you see athletes who are in a tough spot, probably looking at you as their only hope of helping their career continue in many cases. How does your devotion to your Catholic faith help you talk to them when they're probably so fragile mentally and emotionally?
Yes, I use my faith to explain to them that no task is really too difficult. And there are some pretty daunting tasks, whether it's in front of an athlete who needs to recover, and I have to explain to them, you've got to be patient, you've got to focus on small goals, you've got to stay positive. it's very similar to some of my patients who need to lose weight. And I explained to them as the athlete, you know what, you have a big process, a big thing that you want to try to achieve with either your surgery or your weight loss. And if you look at the big picture, it's very daunting. And so instead of taking that big picture, break that big picture up into smaller goals and focus on and try to gather the strength to achieve each small goal one at a time. And you, when you look back in 6 or 9 months, you will have achieved your big goal. And so, you know, although not all of my patients are Catholic, and not all of them pray, I often don't know what most of their faith is.
Sure.
The idea, you know, of not letting a big goal defeat you, is something I try to impress upon a lot of my patients.
Yeah, I like it. I see that. In another sign of living your Catholic faith, I'm told that you're involved in community service there in Houston. What type of activities has that been?
So, just various different activities, some service opportunities with, in conjunction with my kids that go to the Catholic high school here in town, Jesuit. They have service opportunities, and I have accompanied them to do that. There's some not-for-profit in town that I try to support. That deal with mental health disease and sort of counseling along the Catholic faith. I think that's a very important underserved community is those with mental health. And so I'm an advocate for that and a supporter for that as well.
Nice. Well, running out of time, but I do want to close with an opportunity for you. You just started to mention this briefly. Share with the audience about your children and their faith and sports lives.
Yes, so we have three sons. My oldest son went to the Jesuit high school here in town and then only applied to Jesuit colleges. That was it. He wouldn't even apply to Notre Dame because it's a Holy Cross college. But he went to Spring Hill in Mobile, Alabama, which is a beautiful campus. And now he teaches high school at an inner city school in here in Houston. He is my most humble child, and really the Jesuit education has taught him to be a man for others. Mm. Our second son is a junior in high school. He is an avid baseball player. I tried to get him to go to Notre Dame, but ironically, he is going to play baseball at Rice.
Wow.
He also is a very, very service-oriented. Service projects are very important to him, helping with the underprivileged. He loves to volunteer at the Loaves and Fishes here in Houston. Mm. And then finally, our youngest son, who will be at the Jesuit school this coming year, is an eighth grader, and he too is full of heart, attends the Sunday school, and so on. So we're very blessed with three beautiful, healthy, very humble children, and I thank God for them every day.
Fantastic. Rosemary, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you and your family and the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Bruce. I am very flattered, humbled, and I wish you and Catholic Sports Radio a beautiful day today.
Thank you. And listeners, let's close with the Sportsman's Prayer that we do frequently on the show, and of course, do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.